So the name of this talk is Improving Your Serve. I think I was reminiscing. You know, I thought it was like a year or two ago, but it's actually been like 5 years of my time of doing racquetball. And when I was younger, I used to do tennis. And if you know anything about either one of those sports, you realize that the serve is probably one of the most important things. It is the setup to not only that match, but possibly the game. A great serve sets you up for a win. Winning the point, winning the game. If you can continue with that power serve or that strategic serve, you can outwit your partner. And of course, they're going to try to do the same to you. But no, if you have that serve, that magic serve, you've won it all. There too, if you have a serve that is weak, well, your opponent then has the opportunity to take command, take over, to get on that serve, and to, because the serve is powerful, you put your all in it, and you kind of make yourself kind of defenseless in some respects. And so your partner, as you're trying to get back into your defenses, the person, especially with the weak one, can come back, slam in, and it's done, and you, before you even know it. I use this also as an example of giving service. Because when you are a power server, someone who gives service with love and power, your life expands. And you then ultimately win that supposed game of life. But when you find yourself in a weak serve, where you don't know where you want to place the ball, where you're not sure of yourself, where you're not sure of the power, and you are intimidated, life can feel like it's a slam dunk coming right past you, doesn't it? A power ball that is about to hit you and really move past you. I want to tell you a story, two stories. The first one of a rich prince. He was so rich and lived in a beautiful palace that there were walls around it. And he grew up in the lap of luxury. And his parents and the religious order of that time, everyone wanted to keep all world ugliness away from him. He was so loved and cherished that he only saw beauty and was given everything. He only knew the blessings of the earth and knew nothing else. And he lived like this for a long time. He was married and had children before. At some point in time, he wanted to know what was on the other side of the walls. No one would tell him. They would only tell him great, beautiful things and treat him and give him loving, beautiful things. No one really knows, but at some point in time at night, it was believed that he snuck out of his palace. He put on different clothes, and he was determined to figure out what was on the other side. And to his dismay, when he walked in the streets, and this, he was from a city in India, he walked in the streets, and what he saw was the hurt and dismay of mankind. He saw starving people. He saw dirt on the street. He saw the human despair. And as he walked around, not knowing what to think, I mean, remember this guy only saw the lap of luxury and goodness and greatness. I think all of us would like to kind of see that. I don't know if he, can you imagine that, registering then what all this is when it's the complete opposite of you? And as he walked and talked, and really got a sense of what the other side of mankind was, he made the decision. He made a similar decision as a man who grew up, I think in our terms, maybe lower middle class, a working class family. Well, we know he lived in the city, but they kind of moved around a lot, he and his family, to find work. The family, though they had means, the mother was a housewife, and the father used his hands to make a living. At the time of this gentleman's birth, there was no hospitals available. There were no midwives. There wasn't even a room for him to be able to be born in. Everyone was shut down for whatever reason. In an emergency, they found that all they could do was go into this barn with the hay and with the livestock and give birth to this young man. One man came from modest means. Other one came from the lap of luxury. And they both saw something within the world. And they came here to teach us. Of course, the second story is about Jesus being born in the manger. The first story is Siddhartha Gautama, also known as Buddha. And the beauty of these men and why they serve so beautifully and why after years and years and decades and centuries and lifetimes, we still look to them is because their service, they gave their lives to service. The Buddha took himself away from his wife, his kids, and from that lap of luxury and said, there is an answer to suffering. And I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that I can receive the answer and to share it with everyone. No longer will I take, and I need to give. Jesus, the same. He knew he came into this life to serve, to give, to be love, so that we all could remember who we are and who we came to be, both whether you're Buddhist, whether you're Christian, and like so many other spiritual paths, we hear that service is the way to expand and to be the winner of life. I want to give you a couple of examples. In Judaism, all men are responsible for one another. Jainism, rendering help to another is the function of all human beings. Confucianism, the man of perfect virtue wishes to be established himself, seeks also to establish others. Wishing to be enlarged himself, he seeks also to enlarge others. Taoism, the sage does not accumulate for himself. The more he uses for others, the more he has himself. The more he gives to others, the more he possesses of his own. The way of heaven is to benefit others and not to injure. The way of the sage is to act, but not to compete. How many hundreds and thousands of years am I still looking at old doctrine, old spiritual literature to talk about the now moment? How long are we going to say we follow Buddhism or we follow Allah, the prophet, or we follow Muhammad, the prophet, or we follow in Christianity or whatever ways we want to, and we say we follow them, and yet we don't? Because if we truly said we were going to follow them, we would do what the mandate is for all true spiritual organizations, followings, and that is to serve others. In both teachings, they had followers, disciples, monks. And in each case, each teacher being Buddha and Christ, they were teaching us not that they were the best, but how we could also walk into, be, and enlarge ourselves into the place of Christhood or Buddhahood. They're one and the same. Different pathways, same thing, same thing. And the way to do that is to give yourself to the other. Well, Crystal, you just don't know the means that I have. Both put away all of their means, gave their lives to the other. Now, I know that sounds a little scary because both of them were nomads, didn't have any property or anything of their own, but I tell you that they lived in riches because just as they gave, people gave to them. What you find that you are missing, all you have to do is give. And you have to give in faith. I love this Mother Teresa quote. Faith in action is love, and love in action is service. Love in action is service. And I have to say, from a spiritual perspective, from a human perspective, I don't think we have been in our loving service. In the world, I can't blame each and every one of you and point to you, because our world continues to tell us that we need to lock down. We need to build up walls, whether in Mexico or anywhere else. We need to build walls around ourselves to protect ourselves. But I'm telling you, we need to break down the walls that separate us, because really, honestly, we are not separate from one another. See, that is the beauty of the giving, is that if I give to you, I ultimately am giving to myself. That is both the selfish and the selfless component of giving. Because I come to the realization that if you are not going anywhere, I am not going anywhere. If you are not rising, I am not rising. I actually cannot rise. There might be an illusion of me going to a spiritual height or financial height or any other height, but the reality is, unless all of you are with me, it's an illusion. Because we are one, we are tethered together as one. And yet, even though we are one, we are divine in the beauty of our individual expressions of God. Each and every one of us are created to look the way we look and to have special gifts that might be similar to someone else. But the ultimate reality is that you were born and given these gifts so that you can serve mankind, serve your community, serve your ministry in beautiful ways. You were born for a purpose, and it wasn't to bind yourself up. The spiritual component, the way of life, is to blossom out, not continue to come in, but to blossom out. And I tell you, whether you are depressed, whether you're feeling lack or limitation, the best way to give over that is to serve, is to give. Because the reality is, the law of giving is that you cannot give anything that you do not have. You cannot give anything that you do not have. So if you're lacking in love, give more love. But I don't feel like I, trust me, if you give love, you'll see that you actually do possess it. And it will come back to you. Reverend, I don't have enough friends. Be a friend to someone else. But I can't seem to find the right person. Don't do it for yourself. Befriend someone just to be their friend. And you will find that whether there is a platonic love connection or not, it doesn't matter, because you're giving of yourself. You're sending love. And you are walking into and manifesting everything that you need to be that bodhisattva, to be that disciple. Bodhisattva is a monk who believes in service. It's monastic who only believes in service to others. Disciple, discipleship. Unity is New Thought Christianity, and it means that we like the teachings of Jesus. Jesus taught the same thing. Follow me, In all his following, he didn't say, okay, little fish for me, give all the rest away. Actually, in all those miracle stories, you never hear where he is eating. You never read where he has taken any of the money. He just gives, and it multiplies. Now, because he lived 33 years, of course, we know he ate. He gave to all. There are aspects in the Bible where we hear where he asks the treasurer of the disciples to take some money and take it here and buy that. But the reality is that is not the focus. Christianity's focus, and you know, in Orthodox, they talk about the Christian thing is to love Jesus and make sure that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus already saved us by teaching us the principles of what we need to do. We now need to walk our walk, walk the talk, and actually move in to doing some of the things, doing all of them, loving one another, being of assistance, helping each other. So that's what this talk is really about, improving your serve. There's no guilt or trip. It's about you and communication with God and seeing where you serve and not allowing the I should, would, or could get to you, but moving forward. The bottom line is when you talk to yourself, when you look at your life, are you making a difference? Did you make a difference yesterday, last week, to somebody, to anybody, last month, last year? Do you want to make a difference? Not just to your life, but to the world, to your family, to this ministry. If so, I say let's do that. Let's no longer look at ourselves in the linear way that we always look at ourselves. We have the ability, we talk about recycle all the time, recycle this, recycle that. Let's recycle our lives to be more on point, to be more purposeful, to be that to somebody else, to be able to see what is needed and to move forward. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you should, whatever gift you have received, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace and its variations of form. My dearest beloved, you each are the variation of form of God's gift. You are God's gift. You, each and every one of you, are God's gift. Why don't you say, I am God's gift?
I am God's gift.
I even add, I am God's gift to the world. Because you are. And I know that we use that statement and it's like, I'm God's gift and you're not, but we are all it. We are God's gift to this world. So I'm going to invite you to use, this is one of my favorite formulas, so I'm sure that you've heard this from me. I'm pretty sure I did this last year. How can you be, continue to be, to grow into more of God's gift to this world? There are five things I invite you to do. First one, I know we are told not to do any impulse buying. That's horrible. We have all those impulse things at the counter. I invite you to do impulse giving, though. Impulse giving. If you're down, if you're on the road or stopped at some corner and there's a hint of you that says, man, I should probably give that dude a dollar who has a sign up, don't allow the voices in your head that say, don't give to him, he's probably going to buy booze or drugs. Or one that I usually do is, man, I don't have my wallet out and the light's about to turn. That means I need to dig it out and then I stop and the people are going to get mad at me and blah, whatever excuse. Don't do it. Allow yourself to give freely. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Just do it. Second thing is give the unbuyable. What do you think the unbuyable is?
Kindness.
Kindness. Smile. Time. Self. All of that are aspects of giving a part of yourself. So serving Improving your serve is allowing yourself to give of yourself in some way, shape, or form. And I know so many people are like, oh, Crystal, especially when I was in the corporate world, when I was a vice president of an advertising agency, I'd walk out at 8 o'clock at night going, I have nothing more to give. I understand that if you have a family and children, you go in, you're going, like, my God, I'm so tired, but I still have to give. I have to give, I have to give, I have to give. What am I going to get? But the reality is, the more you do it in a loving, kind way, the more you see the God within you sharing and giving to yourself, your brothers, your sisters of all kinds for no reason, the more the inflow comes. And more importantly, not just the material inflow, but the inflow of just that great feeling of that love. To give your time and your space. How many people have done something that you didn't even expect to? You didn't even know that you had time, but someone was in need, you did it. And they were so thankful and grateful. Didn't it make you feel really good? And unfortunately, we then allow the stress of time to get to us, and then we go, oh man, now I'm really late. No, just move forward and take the steps to give that which is unbuyable. Third, become a noticer. You know, we don't do this much. We don't notice much. We're too busy doing this, unless we're noticing ourselves and, you know, I don't know. But we don't notice people in need. If we do, we ignore them. We don't notice people, our neighbors. What are they doing? Can we give a kind word? Can we notice someone and just express how we're noticing how wonderful you are right now? Can we notice how wonderful you're singing if they're humming. Can we notice a person walking down the street? I've said this before in Albany. I live in downtown Albany. Man, you know, I'm smiling. Hi! And they look at me like... Yeah. Or you might give that kind of smile and that look. Grab the person, keep moving. Just noticing a person is walking down the street and flash a smile, flash a hello. It doesn't matter whether they say hello or not. I'm giving. I'm not expecting anything to come back. And you know what? Ever since I've been saying this, the people in Albany have been coming back to me, giving me smiles and saying hello before I can get to it. It does come back. It's beautiful. Fourth thing, an interest giver. How do you give interest? You know, that's something that people are wanting and starving for, is to feel like you're interested in them. Interest giver. How many times do we fly by barely listening to someone? How many times do we move forward, even in our workplace or in our families? Do we just sit down and listen? How many times do we listen to our partners, our beloveds, our spouses, our best friends, after about the 500th time you've heard a story? How many times have you been the one doing the story and you see that wonderful person kind of rolling their eyes or occupying themselves in a different way? How would you feel if all of a sudden you said this story and you looked and your partner was intrigued and actually interested again, trying to find that new spark in that story, trying to find you even deeper in that story? How would that make you feel? That would probably put a spark back in your relationship. Because you're interested. How about being interested in that person who stops for a conversation? How about being interested enough in a homeless person who needs to have someone see them as a human being? How about just being someone interested in mankind? Lastly, credit giver. In this day and age, especially since I said I lived in the corporate world, it was all about getting the credit here so I could get the raises, so I could be seen. No, in this ministry, I don't do it all. I don't plan on doing it all. I can't. And so when something happens, I give credit where credit's due, because we're all in this together. To build the beloved community, to build this as the loving community that it is. Every time I hear people, they're like, oh my God, I go into unity, it's so much love. That's because we all give each other credit. How many times have you been at work and someone has stolen your credit? And you're like, Be the example. Talk about how that person did such wonderful things, because if they're stealing something from you, that means they don't think they have it yet themselves. These are just five simple ways in which we can serve. I love this Marianne Williamson statement. Nothing liberates our greatness like the desire to help, the desire to serve. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you not only to be the beautiful server in your community, in your life, I invite you to be that servant in your home, whether it's your family home, and especially here. There are so many ways, and let us start here. Let us, yes, do outside. When I first got here, people were like, I want to do. And I had no clue what anything was, what to do with anything. It took me a year to figure out how everything ran. Now I know. And so we have a beautiful mission statement. It is to awaken to and embrace the Christ in all persons through prayer and service. This church is a magnificent church that is growing. And we need each other. So yes, I invite you to come serve with us, to continue to build this ministry, because I can't do it by myself. I can be up here and give exciting talks, smile and welcome people, but you are the beloved community. And when I walked in here a year and almost a half ago, it was your love that I felt. When new people walk in here, it is your love that they feel. And so I'm asking you to now to embrace the church again. If you have been getting a call to do something here, I ask you to move beyond the walls that we create to stop ourselves and to be a part completely of this beloved community. We have so many spots. There's more than enough room to fill. And if you see a need here, I ask you to come and say, you know what, I think we need this. And more than likely, I will say, all right, yeah. Emery and Paul said, you know, we need a hiking club. I think we all need to come together and hike through the mountains all around here, through other states. And I was like, excellent idea. Let's go for it. People were like, I heard that there was a need for hospitality downstairs. And your love flourishes, and sometimes it ebbs and it flows. If you want to be a welcome force, I invite you to talk to Paul Freeman and say, hey, I want to be a welcoming force. If your welcoming force is to be at the door as a greeter and usher, talk to Pamela Coles, because we need people at the 9 o'clock, the 11 o'clock, and the 6 o'clock. Can you imagine walking through those doors and someone saying, hi, at either of the doors? And welcoming you as a new person. Can you imagine that? Feel free to step in. We have so much. We have prayer. We have audio, video. We have everything. They already primed the pump for me early on, so I won't give you all. If you want to feel fulfilled, yes, be of service in the world, be in service to this community. I also ask you to be of service to your spiritual family right here, right now. Any way that you feel, and the amount that you feel, there is usually no pressure here. This is an invitation for you to embrace that call and to move forward. So, if you have that call and you're wondering what's up, if you go out to the Bradford entrance, the first board on your right are the service ministries. I invite you to look, see where you fit in. If you don't think that you fit in, we will create a place for you to fill in. Well, you know. And so with that, just move forward. Become the Christ that we are all born to be. Become the Buddha. They're only titles. We don't even need those titles. We are. It's just a matter of activating ourselves to be that which we were born to be. So I invite you, on the back of the bulletin, or in the side of the bulletin, is an affirmation. I also, as you go forward, you ask God, you pray, you communicate with God. What is your purpose? How are you to serve? We have an affirmation to help you out. Let's say this together. I trust in God's perfect plan, leading me to my highest good, where I can best use my gifts and abilities in joyful service. Amen. And if I could pull a plug on as many people as can come for the spring cleaning of the church next Saturday, it will go fast and it will be so much fun. God bless you all. Thank you all so much.